sir.
Sir, we have Mr. Savory in the chair right now. He may pick it up, it's his preference.
Okay, we'll leave it up to him. We'll be ready to get started as soon as he's ready.
I'm ready as soon as you are.
Okay, who has Mr. Savory?
I have.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Johnson will conduct this hearing, sir.
Okay, sir, would you state your name and your ABC number for us for the record?
William Savory, 119193.
Is Christine Reese?
Yes.
That's you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So are you the only one here for Mr. Savory?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Savory, you appear before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. I'm going to introduce you to the members of the board that are going to be conducting your hearing today, sir. You have the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, the Honorable Luis Quinones. Our board chair is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your panel chair. And we have the Honorable David Mills, sir. Sir, prior to this hearing, you received and signed a notification form to advise you of this hearing today, sir. Do you recall receiving and signing the form notifying you of your hearing today, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so on that form, it also informed you and notified you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney to represent you, sir, at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
With myself today, sir.
Okay. Sir, I also want to introduce you to Mr. Osborne. Mr. Osborne is here. He is representing the Department of Correction as well as the parole officers, sir. So at this time, sir, you also have one supporter here that's here and supporting you, and that's Ms. Christine Reese?
Yes, sir.
Okay. At this time, I'd like to swear all three of you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes.
Mr. Savory, yes. Mr. Osborne?
I do, sir.
And Ms. Reese?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Sir, your hearing today will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we'll determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, we'll determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. Sir, we're going to start out in phase one, sir. You have three allegations listed on your warrant, sir. I'm going to read all three of those allegations to you. When I read the allegation to you, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the first allegation on your warrant states you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about August 15, 2017, per the TASC GCMS lab report dated August 18, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
True.
Okay, thank you, sir. The second allegation states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about August 20th, 2017, per the TASC GCMS lab report dated August 25th, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
True.
Okay. Sir, and the last allegation states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 4, as demonstrated by your failure to successfully complete substance abuse counseling on or about September 5th, 2017, as directed on August 22nd, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
True.
Okay. Thank you, sir. So, based on the admission of Mr. Savory, I'm going to move to find that he was delinquent. He did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree. Okay, so we're going to go into phase two of your hearing, sir. During phase two, the board would make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out in phase two with getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Osborne. Then we're going to come to you, Mr. Savory, get any additional information or information you'd like to present to the board. And then we're going to go to your supporter that's here, Ms. Reese, and get any information from her that she'd like to present to this board, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Mr. Savory was released from USC custody on March 13th of 2017. He was arrested on September 5th of 2017 at the Black End Regional Parole Office on a tech violation and returned back to custody that same day with 0 discount days with a community supervision end date of February 4th of 2020. Current conviction, 2002, kidnapping, 8 years, 6 months. And 2002, aggravated assault, 10 years. Prior conviction, 1995, shock incarceration, 3 months, 29 days. 1996, burglary, second degree, 3 years, 9 months. And 1997, theft, 1 year, 6 months. He's had 3 terms with DOC. Has a CUIR score of 3.3, mental health score of 3, and a substance abuse score of 2. There's no SCG or gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 1998, TIS completion, 6 months. Has a significant disciplinary history with multiple thefts, threats, manufacturing weapon, fighting, and riding noted. Other arrests, 1992, burglary, first degree, AZ County Jail. 2000, dangerous drug violation, California County Jail. And 2000, narcotic drug violation, California unknown. And he has a community risk score of G1B4.
Okay, Mr. Savory, I do want to acknowledge that we do have letters of support here that we have received, that have had the opportunity to review those letters that we have received here, sir. So I do want to inform you of that. And I want to go over some information, sir. When you were released from prison, sir, you were released to the Reborn Assistance Program located at 1302 West Becker Lane in Phoenix, sir. Then it appears that on April 4th, they received an email from Reborn which stated that you were discharged there for 3 days because you were found passed out in the shower. Emergency personnel was contacted to check on your welfare. You admitted to the EMTs at that time that you had been doing heroin in the bathroom. Then on August 18th, sir, you established residence at MRC located at 24601 North 29th Avenue in Phoenix. Sir, were you still staying at MRC, sir, at the time that you were violated?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Sir, it says that that you were working, that you were working at Jackson Car Wash located at 1954 East Highland. And then you moved over to Fleet Clean USA located at 3 North 47th Avenue. You didn't report any other employment during your time. So were you working anywhere else or were you still working at the time?
No, sir. Those are the only, I kept those employment at those jobs the whole time I was out.
Okay, sir. It says for your program that you had the task, you had random drug testing. You failed to submit 3 urine samples on April 10th, June 9th, and June 15th. And then they said they changed your color to submit 3 urine samples. And on those samples, you tested positive for methamphetamine on August 15th. And August 20th, you enrolled in a smart recovery program back in March. And also in August, you referred to CAP substance abuse program on August 18th. You completed intake for the CAP substance abuse program. However, you only attended 5 CAP classes, sir. Is that right?
Correct. The 3 ways that they're saying that I missed, I did take them the following day. What had happened is I couldn't get off work to go make them at that time. But I did, I called the parole department and I was told I could go in the following morning, and that's exactly what I did.
Okay, so I'm just looking at some of your sanctions. So it says that you had drank some methamphetamine with some water, mixed with water, so that you could stay awake at work. And then you said that you were very verbally counseled and sanctioned to complete a 90-day ITH program. Did you complete that program, sir?
No, sir.
Okay. And then it also says that you were staffed for substance abuse counseling by Catherine Nibbitt and P.O. McKay. You tested positive for amphetamines on August 20th.
They were waiting for the GCMS test, and you were continued into the IH program. Then on August 30th, they staffed your case again, reference abuse counseling and substance abuse counselor Margaret. It appears that they staffed it with several people, and you still tested for methamphetamine, and they moved you to the ITH on that same day, and you were to continue in that program. Then on September 5th, you were discharged from the ITH program due to your failure to abide by the rules. You failed to take advantage of the resources provided to him and chose to abuse illicit drugs while on supervision. Is that right, sir?
Half right. Okay. I was taking advantage of all the classes that they had available to me, and I was trying to program as they were needed. I ended up with a mass buildup on my femoral artery, so I went to the hospital to get it done. Well, they gave me medication, and the counselor said that I was over-abusing my medication, which I was. I'm not going to say I wasn't. I did take more than what I should have. That was why they're saying that the illicit drugs, but I wasn't trying to refuse the program. I wanted the programming. And yeah, I was actually getting more into the program as we were starting to come through it. I wanted to complete it. I needed that help. I needed that structure that they had for me there. And I was trying to get mental health counseling as well along with it.
Okay. So the parole officer, Mr. Osborne, has some comments he want to make at this time.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I have notes from September 5th to 17th that the offender was discharged from the ITH program on 9-5 due to missing medications and being at medical risk of overdose. He was prescribed over approximately 90 pills of gabapentin while he was at the hospital, and he ingested over 45 of those pills over a two-day period, which he admitted to the PO.
She knows. Okay.
So, and that's noted in the criminal note, sir.
Okay, sir. So why are you taking so many of those pills, misusing your medication, sir?
Yeah, I didn't take 45 pills. There are 800 milligrams. I was supposed to take them three times a day. I had taken maybe eight of them out of context. I had seven of them that I was supposed to have done. I was taking them with my antibiotics. I didn't take all those pills. A lot of those pills I either threw away or I handed them to one of the other guys that had the same prescription. He had that same exact prescription. I gave him a few, but I didn't take that many. There was no way possible. I wouldn't be able to function at 45 pills at 78 or 74 milligrams, 7,400 milligrams in a day. When she confronted me, we were in a room full of people. I just woke up. I still wasn't quite coherent. She started yelling at me in front of 12 other people, trying to make me feel little, I guess. I'm not real sure, but that was how I was feeling. And I started to lose my temper, so I told her yes when she asked me if I was taking all the pills.
Uh-huh.
That was where I might have screwed up on my own behalf, because maybe if I would have explained to her more what I was doing instead of getting mad at the situation that I put myself in, maybe it wouldn't have gone the way it did.
So why would you give your medication away to other people, unauthorized people, you're giving your medication to?
Excuse me?
Why are you giving your medicine to other people, you said?
One of the gentlemen that was there, he had the same prescription as I did from the same doctor, and he had run out, and he was hurting. His back was all messed up, the shoulders were all messed up from an accident previous to it, and in my head, I was doing something good for somebody else.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to see if the board has. Mr. Osborne, did you have something?
Yes, sir. And also, there was also further notes from a Laura Smith. I don't believe she's a PO, maybe a counselor at the facility. But she put notes that this writer also notes the offender is in need of psychiatric evaluation and a mental health evaluation also.
Correct. That was what I was trying to get her to. She was, we were in the process of doing that, but I felt that she wasn't really trying to get me into it, like she said she was, because the way she would talk to me, she asked me, my girlfriend, the one that's sitting across from you guys, sitting there now with my supporter, she would sit there and ask me if my girlfriend felt in danger of her life while she was around me. She asked me if she felt that I would hurt her at any point in time. And then she would ask me questions that were of a really derogatory nature towards people that are around my family. And it didn't make any sense to me. And it was really actually starting to make me feel uncomfortable being around her. And I had asked other officers, and I had asked the other counselors if there was any way I could get a different counselor, because I didn't like the way she was talking to me. I felt she was talking down to me. I felt she was asking questions that really didn't pertain to my recovery in any way, because it was more of do I feel like I'm going to hurt my family type thing. So when she offered me a mental health evaluation through a mental health program, I actually wanted that more than anything. I was willing to do that with her just to get to where I can understand what was going on with me, not only my addiction, but the way I was thinking from prison.
Okay, so I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions. The board have any additional questions, Mr. Saban? All right, so you do have one supporter here, Ms. Christine Reese. I'm going to ask her to come up before the podium, Ms., and please state your full name and go ahead and present whatever information you want to present to the board.
Hi, I'm Christine Reese. Let me see, where do I start? For Mr. Sabry, on my end, he's not a violent person. What he has said is true about the pills and all. He's never tried to harm me in any way. He does it with his family. His family's number one, the people that he cares for. Since his incarceration, he has asked me to look into programs so he could work on himself and what his addiction and the things that he really needs to dig down deep into. He's also asked me to do these programs with him, and I have agreed to do that. For him to be able to come home, like I said, I was in a car accident, and I know this probably doesn't pertain, but I could really use his help because I'm going through a lot with the medical issues to it. His family needs him home. And also on behalf of Fleet Clean USA, our boss was unable to be here today because he had to go to Apache Junction. But he does have a job. We want him back. He's a very hard worker. He's worked since he's been out. We've worked at the car wash, and the car wash also wrote you letters of recommendation. For all the people that know him there, we're all pushing for him. We all want to help him. I feel, I know it doesn't matter, but I feel he deserves another chance. I know he has an extensive background, and I do understand a lot of that was way before, but he's a changed man. He really is. What's done is done in his past. I mean, for myself, I don't hold any judgments. He's a good guy, and I know he's made a few mistakes with the methamphetamines, but I'm willing to support him and do counseling with him, if need be. And I would really like it if you do release him today, I would really like you to put some stipulations on, so he can get the help that he needs. We're looking into counseling for PTSD. I just have to figure out what type of, counseling that's for. But today is his birthday. Happy birthday, babe. And I just hope you guys make the right decision to let him come home and give him another chance. And he also is available to go back to the halfway house on Orangewood with Eric and them. I have spoke to them. So he has good support now, and we're all standing behind him. We're willing to do what we have to do to keep him clean and sober and to finish his time, because I know he has a lot of time left. So if he's given the opportunity, which I hope you guys will, he'll do good. I can guarantee you that. Thank you.
Thank you. Does the board have any questions? All right. The board has no discussion. Mr. Sabry, I do want to ask you one question before we go into
discussing, so I can give you the opportunity to present any of the last minute comments you'd like to make before the board. So why do you keep using drugs? It appears that that's, you just continually use drugs and you're not making any effort to get off the drugs.
I do make efforts. I have actually made efforts. I've gone to Narcotics Anonymous. I've gone to the Smart Recovery classes. The reason that I keep doing it, and it's not a continuous use. If you look at I did all my time. I've gotten one DUA in prison. I don't use on a constant basis. The heroin, it was about a month after I was released, and I was having, I was in a bad place inside my head. I do have an intrusive thoughts in my mind, and that was one of the things that I'm trying to get the help for with the not only PTSD counseling, and I've actually gone to the NOAA house and gone through a session of counseling, and they were supposed to put me back through, and I started working more hours and I wasn't able to follow up on it. The methamphetamines, that was just a really, really, really bad choice on my part. I have been clean from methamphetamines for quite a long time, and it was just a relapse that I could bet money on from this day on will probably never happen again. I sit here today and I look at these guys in this prison that I'm sitting in, and I'm watching them, and there's drugs in here, and everybody knows it. You guys know it, I know it, the prison system knows it. And I sit here and I watch these guys stay up, and it actually makes me mad, because knowing that that's what I did not only hurt me, but it hurt Christine that's sitting there. It's hurt my mom, my dad, my family. And if I'm released back on the parole, I have absolutely no problem doing any and all counseling that I can find to take just to make sure that this doesn't happen again. I'm 45 years old today. I'm sitting here back here where I really don't like being. I mean, nobody likes being here, but now I'm seeing everybody from a different view. I'm sober now, I'm clean. I have been since they brought me here from MRC. Mm-hmm. And I see what everybody's doing, and you know what, that's not me. I don't want a part of that. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want nothing to do with it. And it just really frustrates me to know that that's what I was doing and hurting the people that I did do. And I don't want to be a part of that no more. That's just, I'm too old for it. I just want to go back to work. I just want to spend the rest of my life with my girlfriend right there and just live happy. I mean, because when we were sober together, we had everything. Apartment, we had money. She even got me help me get a bank account. First bank account I've ever had, which is kind of cool. We could go out and eat dinner. We could go out and watch a movie if we wanted to. We'd go to the parks. And as soon as I did the started thinking, okay, well, I can get away with this, it all went to shit. Excuse my language. Everything went downhill, and it went fast. I don't want that. I liked it the other way. I liked it when we were sober and we can go do things and we were happy. We would smile. We were, you know, we weren't afraid to see people. Everybody we could talk to, we could look them eye to eye. That's what I want. So in the counseling and stuff that I've got available to me, I have reached out to some of them. I would like to, you know, I mean, I'd like the opportunity at least one more time to prove not only to the board, prove to my family and everybody else, but prove to myself that I'm actually able to do this. Because I know I can stay sober.
Okay, sir. The board's going to go into discussing, Mr. Sabre. While the board's in discussing, sir, I'm going to ask you to remain silent, however, to remain on the phone while the board's in discussion.
Okay, yes, sir.
We'll make a determination and then get right back with you shortly. Board's in now in the discussion. Mr. Sabre has completed in 98. He did complete a TIS completion for 6 months. However, I'm worried about this one. I'm not. I think that he does have a job. He is working, but he just has continued to use drugs. He didn't complete the program that he was actually in, and I'm not confident that after he's released, he's going to continue to not do drugs. And he have an enormous amount of time left on his community supervision. If this is the right time, February 4th of 2020, that he has. So he has an enormous time left on there. But I am concerned about him being out on community supervision, continuing to use some drugs. Dr. Wright, I do want to ask you a question, though. When someone has this much time, do they come back before this board again? No? Okay. Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. All I wanted to say was, with respect to Mr. Savory, I hear what he's saying, and I think he's gone out of his way to say and prove that he's not a threat, but the problem I'm struggling with is that he just doesn't sound very responsible or accountable. So I'm not saying that's the last word, but that's certainly what I'm struggling with as a board member. Thank you, sir.
All right, the board has any additional questions?
But he would not come back because he's TIS. If he was parole, he would, but he's TIS, I believe, so he would not come back again. And he could always apply for commutation, something of that nature. He could apply for that on his own, but otherwise he would not come back.
Okay, I understand that he does have a long time to go, but based on just his past experience and his continued use of drugs and not participating and completing any drug programs to help himself, unless he does, you know, try to do some things to help himself, he's going to just continue to do drugs. Although he was working and he had a job and he does have supporters, and that's some nice letters here of support, but. With the understanding that he does have an enormous amount of time, quite a bit of time left to February 4th of 2020, I still don't find him suitable for community supervision at this time. I just feel as though the drug use that he actually has and his lack of taking responsibility and getting involved in some programs to correct that problem, it's just going to continue. Therefore, I am going to make a motion to revoke the community of supervision. Mr. Savory, move that, find that he was delinquent, violated the term and conditions of his supervision, had lapses, about to lapse into criminal ways, or accompanied by the use of drugs as he's been continually using drugs and not completing drug treatment program that he's been put in, and also, you know, the fact that his PO did try to work with him and keep him in programs to do it with the sanctions that he was actually doing. So that's only going to lead to more negative behavior and possible lapse him into criminal ways. Or that's going to be my motion at this time.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, Mr. Savory?
Yes, sir.
The board has voted to revoke your community supervision, sir. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time. I want to thank you for participating in this hearing today, sir.
So is there anything else I can do from here?
I think that would have to be something you'd have to work with your CO3 on there at the facility, sir.